Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and the National Intelligence Estimate about Al-Qaeda released this week included a warning about increased radicalization of young Muslims in the West, including the United States. It may not be as widespread here as in Britain or France, but the NIE indicates a risk, and that raises issues about the tensions within Muslim-American identity in the new generation and about how law-abiding young Muslims are treated by other Americans and by the state. For my next guest, this is at the heart of his work as an activist in the youth interfaith movement. Eboo Patel is the founder and executive director of the Interfaith Youth Corps in Chicago. The organization and Patel's stated goal is to create a pluralistic religious dialogue and combat religious totalitarianism, as they call it. He just recently published his memoirs, Acts of Faith, The Story of an American Muslim, The Struggle for the Soul of a Generation, published by Beacon. Eboo, welcome back to WNYC.
Hello. Great to be with you, Brian.
In brief form, what is the struggle for the soul of the generation?
Well, it's the idea that young people are going to play a key role in building religious pluralism or destroying religious pluralism. And in my book, really the heart of it is this century is going to be about building religious pluralism, or it's going to be a century of warfare. And I call that the idea of the faith line. And let me just read a quick paragraph in the book,
sure,
which articulates
right.
The idea of the faith line. 100 years ago, the great African-American scholar W.E.B. Du Bois famously said, "The problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line." I believe that the 21st century will be shaped by the question of the faith line. On one side of the faith line are the religious totalitarians. Their conviction is that only one interpretation of one religion is a legitimate way of being, believing, and belonging on earth. Everyone else needs to be cowed or converted or condemned or killed. On the other side of the faith line are the religious pluralists, who hold that people believing in different creeds and belonging to different communities need to learn to live together. Religious pluralism is neither mere coexistence nor forced consensus. It is a form of proactive cooperation that affirms the identity of the constituent communities while emphasizing that the well-being of each and all depends on the health of the whole. I think young people are going to be the key force on the side of religious pluralism or the side of religious totalitarianism.
So relating that to the statement in the National Intelligence Estimate that I read at the beginning, this notion that there is increased radicalization of young Muslims in the West, including the United States, to what degree do you think that's the case, and to what degree does it stem from this dynamic?
We have to understand that religious totalitarian groups are exceptional about recruiting, identifying, training young people. I mean, that's a big part of this book, Acts of Faith, is how it is that Al-Qaeda, the Christian Identity Movement, the BJP in India, and other such groups actively target young people. And what we're saying at the Interfaith Youth Corps is, well, why don't we have the equivalent type of institution, the equivalent type of force that is identifying and recruiting young people to be leaders in the cause of religious pluralism? You need to be trained in the skills of bringing people from different faith backgrounds together to do concrete projects for the common good, which is precisely what we do at the Interfaith Youth Corps.
Is there an inherent paradox here? Because the very nature of religion is believing that your beliefs are right and other people's are wrong. And so to make a fundamental basis of religion, reaching out to and respecting other religions, is that actually a tall order?
Well, I mean, a big part of this book is about my own growing up and how I grew up with my best friends being Mormon and Jewish and Hindu and evangelical and Muslim and Catholic, and trying to figure out what my religious identity was as a Muslim vis-a-vis those other people. And I think that that's really the challenge of every community in America and every community in the world today, is to figure out who we are religiously in interaction with people who are different. I think that that's one of the ways that religious faith formation is different in this era than in previous eras.
And how did you get to the interfaith and pluralistic place as a Muslim that you're at today? You do write about a kind of transformational journey from when you were an angry young man.
Right. Well, it's funny. I was angry for reasons.
Not that you're very old right now to look at you.
I was angry for reasons entirely independent of religion, and it was actually religious traditions, first in the form of the Catholic worker and ultimately in the form of Islam, which is the tradition of my ancestors, that taught me a way of connecting to both the divine and to my inner self and to people around me in a way that kind of exuded compassion and mercy, which is the way we Muslims begin everything, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. And I just thought to myself, well, wait a second, if this could happen to me, if I at a point of really powerful anger in my life could have been met at the crossroads of my identity crisis by people who kind of led and mentored me in a direction of really constructive engagement, why can't we build an organization that can do that for a larger group of people, for a generation? That's exactly what we're trying to do at the Interfaith Youth Corps. And that's the process that I try to describe in this book, Acts of Faith.
How much of your recognition of your religious tradition also extended to the recognition of your ethnic background as Islam crosses so many ethnic boundaries?
Right. Well, you know, one of the core aspects of Islam is not only is it a non-racist religion, it's an anti-racist religion. I mean, so there's this great story in the early days of the Prophet, may the peace and blessings of God be upon him, about how a dark-skinned slave was freed by the Muslim community, and then Muhammad actually made him a leader. The slave's name was Bilal, made him the prayer leader. So the more I learned about Islam, the more I recognized the importance of partnerships and cooperation across all boundaries, religious, racial, ethnic, the more I also realized the power and the intensity of my Americanness. And the more I came to appreciate that. And right now I'm part of a generation of young Muslims that is very much building the institutions of an American Islam. Of course, this is an Islam that is 1,400 years old, that is animated by the Quranic message of that time. But all religious traditions need to be enfranchised in a particular time and place.
Do you see a kind of competition between what you represent, building a contemporary American Islam, and the attempts to recruit people toward the radical Islam that the NIE warns is growing in America among the young?
I see a competition between religious pluralism and religious totalitarianism, period. And I believe that anybody who wants to live in a society where people from different backgrounds live in equal dignity and mutual loyalty are on my side. Those are my people. And anybody who wants to build a society where one group dominates and everybody else suffocates, whether it's bin Laden or whether it's the Christian Identity Movement or whether it's the BJP, those are our enemies.
BJP is the Hindu nationalist group in India. How does a movement, though, based on that kind of tolerance, fight the intensity of the fundamentalists?
Now we're getting back to the issue of young people. And if you look at the 20th century, Brian, so many of the movements that made that century the powerful century that it was were led by young people. King was 26 years old in Montgomery, Alabama in 1955. Mandela was a young man when he started the ANC's Youth League. Gandhi was even younger than King when he started his movement against racist pass laws in South Africa in the early 20th century. All of those movements were about pluralism. All of them were led by young people. I think that my generation can give rise to the same kind of movement today of pluralism that is passionate, that is constructive, and that wins against the religious totalitarians.
Does the sort of assessment like I referred to from the NIE or the poll released by Pew a few months ago showing the seeds of radicalism among some young Muslims hurt your cause? Because the media spins it in a certain way and then there's a lot of fear generated as a result? Or is it just information perhaps that you can even use?
Let me tell you what hurts our cause. When Al-Qaeda puts on the screen young Muslims that are radicals and wants people to believe that every young Muslim is a radical and people believe it, that hurts my cause. When people believe Al-Qaeda's message that all Muslims are radicals, that hurts our cause. What we need to do is recognize that the line that we have to draw is not between Muslims and Christians or Hindus and Jews. It's between pluralists and totalitarians. And it's young people who are going to be the spearhead on the side of religious pluralism. And you know, what we do at the Interfaith Youth Corps is we kind of articulate what we call the cathedrals of religious pluralism in a very abstract way. But we also build the concrete aspects of that. And if you go to our website at www.ifyc.org, you'll find ways to get involved in our training programs, ways to get involved in our Days of Interfaith Youth Service, all kinds of concrete, tangible stuff.
ifyc.org for Interfaith Youth Corps. org. And Eboo Patel's new book is called Acts of Faith, The Story of an American Muslim, The Struggle for the Soul of a Generation. It has a blurb right from Bill Clinton on the front cover that says a beautifully written story of discovery and hope. It's published by the Beacon Press. Godspeed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brian Mara and WNYC.